Ben Reid, he would have played in a fair few of these, I reckon, the Freeze and ND games. 152 games for the Pies, a member of the Premiership 2010, an All-Australian in 2011. He's gone back to Wang. He's playing in the O&M League. He kicked six on the weekend. He's been good enough to join us. Okay, Benny.
Morning, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to talk to you. How was it running around for, was it Wang Rovers or just Wang?
Wang Magpies, mate. So Wang. I stayed in the black and white.
Right.
And it was good fun. The boys say, well, we had a good win. We're over in Lavington. We, Murray moved all the games to New South Wales this week so we could get some crowds in. So, yeah, it was good fun.
What's the standard like? Evans and Murray's always been a strong and powerful country footy league.
Yeah, it is. It is a strong league still. There's a lot of, I suppose, even guys just come out of the league. Anthony Miles, who was at Gold Coast and Richmond, he's playing at Albury. Big Dawes Simpson's playing at Myrtleford. Carl Moore, who was on Carlton and Richards list, playing with us as well. So there's some good players there running around.
Hey, good morning, Ben. Before we talk about Bucks and the time that he coached you and your views about that, were you surprised by the decision last week?
Yeah, I was probably caught off guard as much as anyone was. I thought they had a good win last week, which is great, and get back on the winners list, and then to come out when it did, I was a bit shocked. But I suppose at the end of the day, it's just a little bit of breathing room now, and the players don't have to answer the same old questions they do every other day of the week that I have been.
You had a good view of his coaching style, the Nathan Buckley that started, the Nathan Buckley towards the end of it all, the successes along the way. How much did he change from the original coaching style that he had to what he developed into over that period of time?
I think he changed a lot. He sort of came from that guy who he probably expected everybody to be this certain way when they played, and the game style probably revolved around that a little bit. And then I think as he got on, got older and got a bit more sort of experience in the job, he worked out that all players have different strengths and the play to those. And I think that sort of started towards the end of 2017, and then 18-19 was a pretty good year. It's grand final prelim. Kick away from basically a flag. So he learned a lot as he got going, and I still think I don't think he'll be lost the footy after this, or I think he'll be back in there at some point.
What do you think he learnt along the way? Was it man management skills? Do you think that changed in the way that he was able to interact with players?
Yeah, I think that's a massive one. I mean, everyone talks about the care and empathy and that sort of thing that Collingwood have sort of tried to bring into the culture down there. And that's one of the things that stood out the most is a lot more care. I mean, he was caring, but he's probably just been able to interact with the players a bit more, build those relationships better than what he maybe previously had. And that obviously gets the players on your side. And as a lot of us know, if the coach shows genuine interest in you tend to want to play some better footy as well.
Well, do you think that Nathan will coach again?
I know he loves his footy. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he comes back into it. I think he said he wants to go away for a little while and I suppose spend a bit of time with his family and go from there. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he stepped inside it and had another coaching role next year or he jumped straight back in the media or whatever. I think, whatever he wants to do, he can do. So, good luck to him. And, I think he should be really proud of what he's done.
There's been a lot of discussion, and it's really taken place in the last week because of how Bucks came to be the coach, that succession plan, the handover between Mick and Nathan Buckley. Can you recall how you felt about that? Was it seamless for you as a player at the time?
It was a long time ago. It probably was pretty seamless. I was still pretty young then, 22 or something like that I was. So as a young player, it's probably one of those things that once it happens, you sort of roll with it. Whereas if you were a bit older back then, I had 4 or 5 years with Mick, a great relationship, but some guys would have been with Mick for 10 or 12 years and that probably would have been harder for them. So it's one of those ones. I was probably being a younger player, as I said, it just rolled over into another coach, whereas other guys it might have been a bit harder for them.
There was a lot of players that got moved on sort of around that time. Did you sense that there was some sort of dislocation in the dressing room in that group of players at that time?
Oh, not so much, to be honest. As I said, I was young, and when you're young and naive, you just enjoy playing, being down there playing AFL footy and go to the week-to-week stuff. You probably don't take too much notice of all the other stuff that's going on in the background. And that's basically where I was at. I mean, I didn't see too much going on. There was probably it might have been some things going on that you know I wasn't aware of. But I mean, it all moves on pretty quick in AFL footy. 1 year, someone's there, and then they're not, and the club just moves forward, which is which I think will happen now as well.
What are you doing now, Benny?
What am I doing? I'm doing a bit of work with the Murray Bush Rangers and coaching with them on a Wednesday. A bit of PT work around Wangaratta, and my wife opened up a Pilates yoga studio here in Bright, which she's moved to. So, we're doing a bit of work in there too. So it's been good, mate. Back up to God's country and enjoying it.
They say Bright's one of the most beautiful places in the world. Is that where you're living in Bright?
Yeah, in Bright. Yeah, just outside of Bright, about 10 k's out from on a bit of acreage. So,
how much? How many acres?
That's 30 acres. So it's nice bit of land on the hill there below Mount Buffalo. So it's we're enjoying it. It's been a lot different than the city life. That's for sure. So it's been good.
You got a tractor?
No, I haven't got a tractor. I've only got about probably 5 or 6 acres of clear paddock. The rest is basically bushland around me. So
disappointing. You got a chainsaw?
I've got a chainsaw. That's about it.
What sort?
Husky.
Oh, Husky. Yeah. We're still men here.
You're still men, eh?
Yeah. What about any livestock on the property?
Any livestock? Yeah, my wife, she's always wanted 2 pigs. So we actually got 2 pigs, miniature ones. Right. And we've got a few alpacas and a couple of horses as well. Mum and Dad have got another acres around the corner as well. So we've got some horses on there as well. So it's good, mate. Plenty of animals here to keep us busy.
We're very interested in the pigs' names, given you've only got 2. What have you called them?
Well, it's a little bit embarrassing for me to say, but he's a big Harry Potter fan. So Dobby and Hagrid.
What sort of pigs are they?
They're miniature ones. So, coloured sort of, black and white one. And what's the other one? A bit like a... orangey black sort of colour.
Does that mean you only get little pork chops out of those ones or not?
Yeah, if I sent that around, she'd probably kill me. They're purely just pet these on gas.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they're pets. And the alpaca, what's the alpaca's name?
Mate, I couldn't say. We bought them from the farm just to keep the grass down. They don't do a really good job, to be honest, but we might need to get a few more of them.
Do they spit at the alpaca?
Boy, they're fearful spitters.
Yeah. Well, when you shear them, that's probably the worst spot to be near, and they spit all over the place and carry on. So they're interesting animals, but they're just basically there as lawnmowers for us at the moment.
And they'll keep the foxes away from your pigs.
Yeah, I reckon that's a complete lie. I ran out there when it was sunny a couple of weeks ago and one was laying down sunning itself next to a fox. I've heard that one that many times from people. See how they do this.
Well, I heard it as well. I'm shattered about that.
When you shear your alpaca, how many jumpers would you get out of one alpaca?
Oh, I'm not sure. The lady who we bought them off goes over to South America. You probably can't at the moment, but used to go over there and takes them all across there, gets the jumps and brings them back. But when you watch an actual alpaca get shorn, it's almost like they put them on a table and tie them down and they go nuts. So it's not like a sheep where they just grab it, ragdoll them and shear them. So it's a lot different.
Okay. And just one final question too. I've heard Daisy Pierce talk about that. You grew up alongside Daisy, is that right?
I did.
She said that she had your measure in junior football. Is that right?
Well, the funny thing is, Daisy's, she must not want to get away from me. She's actually just bought a house about 200 metres away across the road from me. So she's moved back up here as well and bought a bit of land across from me. She's only got the 5 acres, so it's a great view. But she probably did have your measure back then. She won the goal kicking, I think, probably 3 or 4 times in a row for her under 13. So she killed him.
She's a star. As are you, mate. We appreciate you jumping on. We loved your talk about the Bucks and the Pies. We loved your farming talk even more, to be honest. So we'll touch base again at some stage. Good on you, Benny.
Too easy, boys. Have a good one.
Hey, Ben.
Ben Reid here for Keezer. Shrug of back pain. Now's the time for Keezer. Now open in Mornington and Ocean Grove.